Mini episode 1826 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode 1826. You have with you here today FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Russ Cohen. The great Russ Cohen, proprietor of Sportsology, 11-time author now, and the first, I think, post-original FDH Lounge dignitary back in 2007. So we're here to talk 2024-2025 Stanley Cup playoffs. Russ, welcome to the show, and please get across here the 11th book. Let the people know about it.
Yeah, it's called Game Winners. It's the greatest game-winning goals in NHL and Olympic history. And so there's a lot of good stuff in there. I believe the Red Wings are in there for something I probably didn't like in 1950.
Okay.
And a few other things. And so, yeah, there's plenty of action in there, a lot of different teams. I will point out that just like my book, in 1826, The Last of the Mohicans was published.
Okay.
So there you go. Just because you said this is a show, 1826.
Yeah, yeah. Everything ties in here. It ties in perfectly. When I did mini episode 1812 with Ben Chu, I noted that while he is half Canadian, we were not on here to relitigate that war of 1812. It was, yes, it was about...
we don't want to talk about Canada burning down the White House, right? So we're going to...
No. Too soon, Russ. Too soon.
I agree.
Although I will say that just to kind of tease this looking ahead here, my pick for the Eastern Conference Finals does evoke nostalgia, I would say pre-pandemic, as in will Vice President Mike Pence be doing the puck drop at game one here? It's a little bit of a nostalgic pick, which I did not expect to be going back in time for my Eastern Conference Final pick, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
I don't
want
to go back in time.
Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. People are having varied thoughts these days. But, I will say at the outset here, some of what we're going to be going off of here as far as taking a look at, the basis of some of my predictions anyways, is you can find it on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. It is the 2024-2025 FDH NHL end of regular season breakdown, and here you can see it in all of its glory here, available on there. So a number of different statistical categories on there. We have our own FDH power rankings along with a number of categories from I have to credit hockeyreference.com, and of course SRS being their own power rankings that they have there. And so, yes, it is something that we use as a tool, as a reference. I have my playoff picks on there, so anybody that has seen that will know where I'm going with this. But, Russ, in taking a look at this...
I did see some incorrect picks on there, so we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you'll share your thoughts as well. I want to say that I teased this to you off air, that I did a scan of the rosters last night just before... kind of going through, caught myself up on, the up-to-the-minute status with the injuries.
Yeah.
There don't appear to be a ton of them that look terribly significant.
Yeah, there's some key ones, though.
Some key ones, yeah. Do we really think Landeskog is going to be playing? So,
He doesn't have to play. He's going to give an emotional lift. But I think there's three or four key players.
Okay. All right. Well, and, one of the biggest ones was already ruled out quite some time ago, Jack Hughes, which really affects.
Yeah, I don't even count that anymore. Like that's
an honor. Baked in the cake. Yeah. But in looking at this, it just kind of struck me that I really wasn't seeing too many teams where they seemed, because last year it seemed like there were at least three or four teams where I was really kind of wowed by how deep they seemed offensively. And it just kind of led me to wonder if this is an across the board thing, the fact that I wasn't seeing as many teams kind of stand out at the top end here. And as a matter of fact, looking at hockeyreference.com, the goals average for this year, 2.81, down from 2.91 the year before, down from 2.97 2 years ago, 2.92 3 years ago. So, Russ, I imagine as somebody covering the sport night in, night out, I mean, what I'm saying obviously wouldn't have come as any kind of a surprise to you. It's what you were seeing as you were watching it all unfold.
Yeah, but you never know with the playoffs. Like, different things happen, and sometimes goalies wilt under pressure in playoffs. Sometimes they rise to the occasion and do the opposite. So I think playoffs are different. So while it is down in the regular season, we also know that refereeing changes in the playoffs.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and that is definitely an X factor, you know, on who you think that that is going to benefit, how that might play out. But in looking at the playoffs here, just kind of going division by division here, in looking at the old Atlantic division, that is one where you've got quite a series there in the first round. This is something that we used to get back in the day a lot more. I would say more so in the 2000s, Toronto and Ottawa. I've got Toronto coming up out on top in six.
But let me ask you this, because this is my take on it.
Okay.
You know, back in those days, it was a real rivalry. I don't think it's a rivalry anymore until they kind of spark it up. It's not.
It's more nostalgic for that, I would say.
Yeah, it's more like Ontario because they're in Ontario, but it's not really a rivalry right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like, remember when this was a big deal? I kind of agree with you. It's not there yet. I will say, in looking at this, because there are a number of teams where, again, I kind of scratch my head on this. We had a dynamic, I think, even beyond what we anticipated at the beginning of the season as far as teams falling back. Philadelphia, I don't know that we necessarily knew what to expect either way, but they just...
I didn't think they were making the playoffs, so that's fine.
Yeah, there's that, but then... Boston, your Rangers, Boston, you know, shockingly. Boston, and when they did. But, you know, again, you know, you might as well really tank if it's not your year, and that's what they did. Sure. Your Rangers not making it a big, big shock. I wasn't
shocked. I knew in November they had huge problems and talked about it on shows. So while it's a shock to others because, yeah, they had a lot of good players and whatever, I saw the, you know, the locker room was bad and they had problems.
Okay. And Pittsburgh, which was a bubble team a year ago, really kind of falling back as well. That is something where, again, looking at this, and this was really was kind of across both conferences here, the fact that the Calgary, a talented team, they failed to rise up this year. So I would have thought that it would have left room. I would have hoped anyways for my Red Wings to make it, narrowly missing again. But it's a thing where some of the teams, look, I mean, if we could actually get the ping pong ball to go our way, one of the years where there is a legitimate,
but you know, you can't. So like, that's a dead story. Like, the Red Wings have no luck in the Yzerman era in the lottery. They, for some reason, they have, and Steve Yzerman has held it together, but I know he's been mad about it. It's really awful.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't panned out. So I say all that to say this, it's created space for some of the teams that did make the playoffs. So you've got Ottawa, you've got Montreal, which at first blush, it's funny that they're playing Washington, because to me, they're the Washington of a year ago.
Yeah.
Washington was the team where, again, when I went towards the
sun. I watched that game against the Flyers live.
Yeah.
They limped in. Ovechkin didn't even have a point in the playoffs. Like, he's a different guy.
Yeah. It just... like Montreal making it, Ottawa, a couple of the teams that made it, St. Louis. It's a little bit kind of puzzling to me, except with Ottawa.
Ottawa separated themselves a little bit. They did.
A little bit. And I go back to, you said it at the beginning of the year. You called this. You were more sure of this than I was. You really thought that Ullmark, that it was going to translate. Even though we didn't have the same blue line in front of him, you called it. All credit to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I was thinking of that as I was looking at their stats last night.
And now I'm going to take it away from them.
Well, yeah, because, again, it's hard to see them getting past Toronto. I mean, for as much problems as Toronto has had in recent years in the playoffs, I mean, this would be one of the bigger banana peel slips, I would think, if they don't make it out of the first round.
Oh, it'd be massive. But
yeah,
they have much better defense. They can lock down games now. I do worry about the goaltending because I don't think Anthony Solaris is a real number one, and he doesn't have a great track record of being that, really none, until this year. So I think the issue there would be they're going to start with Solaris, and will they go to Joseph Woll at some point? They might.
Yeah.
I still take the Leafs to win this series. I'm going to take them in six. But I like what Ottawa has. I think Tkachuk will get things started to some degree. You know, a lot of those Leafs guys are not that easy to get off their game. You can't get Tavares off his game. You can't get Matthews off his game, Nylander. These guys are hard. So I don't know who he's going to, you know, get under the skin of. And if he doesn't, then he has to just rely on his offense. But you lose that dimension. And I could see that happening in the series.
Well, and here's what I would say, too, that when we're talking about the dynamic that I talked about in the league where the scoring was down a tenth of a point from a year ago, the Leafs still being a team that roll out 4-point-a-game-plus guys.
Yep.
Like, they're still what they were a year ago, even as the rest of the league has somewhat kind of receded. So one wonders here. So that's me planting my flag in case they make a surprise run, which I'm not forecasting, but if they do, I can always point back to that.
You can go back to this. Yeah, yes. That's fine. I mean, William Nylander tends to be their, one of their better guys in the playoffs, had a great year. Something 44 goals, something like that. Marner has to prove himself in the playoffs in a, you know, basically a walk year. So we'll see how that goes because we don't know if he'll be back in Toronto.
Yeah.
And Matthews, I think, is finally healthy or at least healthier than he was at points in this season. So I just don't see the Leafs losing. Not this series.
No, not in this series. Now, there are a couple of different first-round series. And this is a thing where, again, I've said to you, again, you and I don't agree on this. I wish they'd go back to the 1-8 conference seeding. Now you have 32 teams.
Why are we going back to this? Can we just move on?
Well, but here's the thing, though. But you get a couple of these first-round series where it almost seems kind of unfair. This, you know, umpteenth Battle of Florida is yet another one here where you could make a pick for either one of these two teams to go out to the Stanley Cup final or to go out in the first round. You have
this
a couple
is what
of
ESPN
different.
Wants. That's it.
I the guess.
Story.
So is this just officially
this
just made for
get
TV?
Great TV ratings out of the gate and get people interested. That's what this is. So the way that this formula is, it causes these bigger games, bigger matchups, and really good teams lose in the first round.
All right. Well,
it's not the NBA, Rick. That's all I'll say.
No, it's not. Although, you know, in the Eastern Conference of the NBA, there's nothing you could do to make it competitive before the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, there's nothing they could do. The West is a different story. The West is very jumbled. The East, not so much. I will be so I'm eagerly already awaiting game one with the Celtics here in C-Town for game one. But back to the NHL, Tampa Bay and Florida, this is one where I just, before I did really kind of, you know, my deep dive kind of cram job, I just sort of went in with the default assumption that I was going to be picking Florida in this series. And I just, the more I looked at it, the more I kind of went inside the numbers and the trends and the tendencies, I veered away from that. I'm saying Tampa Bay in six. I'm not even picking this one to go seven. This feels like one of the cliche series where I would pick to go seven, but I just think Tampa Bay's got more going for it at this point. And I think being, two? Is it even three? I think it's two or three years removed from their last run to the final. I think they've for the players that are left, the core players, I think they've finally purged the exhaustion of three consecutive deep June runs. And, this team doesn't rate with those teams, I don't think. I think they're good enough to get past Florida. And like I said, that's not something that I would have, that's not a pick I would have anticipated making even recently, but it is one that I came to.
Yeah, preseason, I probably wouldn't have taken Tampa in this series, but I would take them now and will. Brandon Hagel has done way better than I ever thought he would for them. So that was, you know, they kind of stole him. I mean, that was kind of crazy. Victor Hedman, again, none of this Tampa success happens without him. But Ryan McDonough has gotten it back. Like, I thought he was starting to kind of get injured and get a little past it. No way. He's still massive for them. So you do that. You have Hagel. Kucherov wins the Art Ross. He's going to be on some people's heart ballots. He was on my ballot. He just didn't win. You know, wasn't the top guy. Just a tremendous player. Florida's great. Florida's, you know, going to get Ekblad back, but he's going to miss some games because of the suspension. You know, they had long runs. I like their overall game and grit and everything. And Matthew Tkachuk is a tremendous player, and Bob will steal a game or two. But Vasilevsky is better than Bob this year. Like, he's back. His his literally his back is better. And he's been a big factor too. And with John Cooper, yeah, I think they're going to win in seven. I don't think seven's a cliche because this is a true rivalry and these teams will beat the hell out of each other.
It is, yeah. And it is going to be a must-see viewing, as you said, right out of the gate. And moving to the old Metro here, I'm saying Washington over Montreal in four. I almost never pick four-game sweeps.
I very rarely do.
I did a year ago with Washington, and I was right. So, you know, I'm doing it with them on the other end this year. I just don't take Montreal seriously. And Washington, all year long, because part of it is, too, I'm a guy where I find it a little hard to break out of my default assumptions. And the fact that I really didn't see them coming this year, it's made me slow to kind of catch on here at this point. But, I mean, they clearly got enough to get past Montreal without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, I mean, one of your false assumptions is that, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was one of the all-time greats. So getting and he's a good guy. Getting past that,
yeah,
I do like Washington this series, but I don't think the Canadians are what Washington was last year. I think they're a little better.
Okay.
I think the Capitals have a little edge in net, but this is a problem because Alexei Protas hasn't even gotten back on the ice yet, hasn't played since April 2nd. I just wrote about this for the Hockey News. And so that's a problem for Washington. He had 30 goals, 36 assists. So that's an issue. And also Logan Thompson hasn't played since April 4th. And he just got back out on the ice. I don't believe he's even facing live shots yet. And he's got to be better by Monday. I think he might be, but he hasn't played, Rick. And that's never a good thing. So I think Canadians can win one of those two games in Washington and make it a series. And I'm going to pick Washington in five. But if Logan Thompson were to not play like the first two games, that's a big deal because Charlie Lindgren's good, but he's not as good as Thompson, not even close.
Right. Oh, I would agree.
And,
yeah.
And on the Canadian side, Nick Suzuki has had a tremendous season, the captain. I mean, I think he gets underrated. I looked up a stat. He has been on the ice for 80 goals for this season.
Wow.
It's a lot of goals. So that's a big number. Cole Caulfield is tremendous. They have one of the most scary power plays in the league. Patrick Laine is now a power play specialist, and he's on a heater on the power play like I've never seen before. So you add all that up, they should be able to steal a game. They might even steal two.
Okay.
But I'll take it for one right now.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a clip and save. So we both agree on that. So we've agreed on all of these thus far. This next one, maybe the one where we go different ways, just because it does seem like such a coin flip. And New Jersey without Jack Hughes, Carolina without Mikko after they ended up flipping him at the deadline.
Yeah, without and Mikko in the end, which is tough for them.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, neither team is necessarily – so this is a pick, a series that I might have forecasted at the beginning of the year, but I would just say, like, neither team is necessarily coming in with as much steam as I might have thought. I'm going with New Jersey in seven. It feels like a coin flip. Sometimes there is the oddity of teams playing without their best player and getting through a series or two. And then, you know, some imbecile will wonder if this is the Ewing theory at work. But, certainly it wouldn't be if New Jersey won. But it's a coin flip. I'm going with the Devils. And as a Red Wings fan, not easy for me to say.
I would say this, and is this the Patrick Ewing theory? Is that who you're talking about with Ewing?
Yeah, it's Bill Simmons' theory that, like, in 99 – like the Knicks were actually better without Ewing. Sometimes the team is better without the player you think is the best player.
No,
I know.
He's completely wrong. That's when I was a big Knicks fan. He is completely – that's a Celtics fan telling Knicks fans what they should believe.
Well, yeah, and he's saying it happens surprisingly often. Sometimes the player you think is the best player.
No, it didn't happen surprisingly often. They went as Patrick went or as many times as John Starks missed.
Right. I've just polluted your mind by telling you a piece of imbecilic trivia that you
didn't. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I'm sorry. But anyhow, getting back to this, New Jersey is without Hughes, but they've been without him for a long time. Nico Hischier has really stepped up. I mean, I've watched Nico Hischier since he was with the Swiss team and the World Juniors and pretty much doing it by himself. He's not doing it by himself here, but him against Sebastian Aho is a hell of a matchup of centers. He's going to win it as far as faceoffs. Will he win it in points? Everybody would say no. I don't know about that. I think this might be the year he steps up. I think Jesper Bratt if I told you had, what, 88, 89 points, you'd probably have to look at it. A lot of guys have stepped up in Jack Hughes' absence. Dougie Hamilton is back. He wasn't supposed to be back, but he's back. That's massive. That helps Luke Hughes because now Luke Hughes doesn't have to be the guy, few less turnovers. So Markstrom is a heck of a goalie, as you know. I think Markstrom has been a real good fit for them. I think Sheldon Keefe has been a real good fit for them. So I think Rod Brind'Amour, to be honest, is kind of like stuck in the mud here. I think he's going to go with Freddie Anderson, and I don't like Freddie. I think Kochetkov actually is more dynamic, but I don't know what year it'll take Brind'Amour to actually use him as their number one. So probably not this year in the playoffs. And yeah, you got Aho, you got Svechnikov, but they're missing a lot of offensive push. You got a few other guys too, but in the end, and defense is terrific. It's not what it used to be, but I love Brent Burns. He doesn't age. This guy can play like, no, he could still skate like the wind. But I think New Jersey will win in seven. I do think the pace of the game will eventually wear out Carolina a little bit. And I do think Carolina will just get frustrated from not scoring enough. And I think New Jersey will score just enough.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You make very good points there, and I agree with all of them, I think. In going to the Central Division here, Western Conference, for as much as I've, and I tend to be the old Obama term here, the bitter clinger with my opinions. I was a bitter clinger on Winnipeg until eventually I wasn't. But again, surprising even me this year. So this is a thing where, again, unsurprisingly, I'm picking them to come through the first round, albeit, you know, the president's winners here. So that they should be expected to come through. I've actually got St. Louis taking them to six because it just kind of, you know, strikes me that, again, legendary battle of the goalies here, reprising Four Nations.
This could be the best goalie matchup. I mean, Binnington was great in the Four Nations. Yeah. I've always been a Binnington believer. Hellebuck is just tremendous. Like, he obviously he's on my heart ballot. I don't want to say where he ended up on it, but he's on it because his GSAA even went beyond last year. It was something like 41.
Right.
If you look at Hockey Reference, which is insane. I'm not sure I've seen a goalie higher. So the amount of games that he's played, the way he's played, I know people will say that he's not the greatest playoff goalie. I think that'll change this year. Kyle Connor has been tremendous. I just think the way they play, they're a well-oiled machine. I think St. Louis was riding emotion. I think Binnington did a lot for him. Robert Thomas is a guy who I really think is terrific. So is Kyrou. Braden Schenn, still really good player. Their defense is good. Parayko had a hell of a year. I just think they're going to come up short. I still think this one could be tough. You might be right. St. Louis might win two. I'm going to still say Winnipeg in five, but it could go six.
I will say also, too, one of the reasons I didn't see Winnipeg coming, just like a lot of people didn't, because quite frankly, nobody had the Jets winning the Presidents at the beginning of the year. Let's just be perfectly honest here.
I had them going to the – what I said at the beginning of the year on Sirius was I think I could see the Jets or the Avalanche going to the Western Conference Finals. I felt like one of those teams was going to make it, and I still feel like one of them is going to make it.
Well, and in a year where, again, I'll go back to this before, where the league scoring receded by a tenth of a point from the year before, maybe this doesn't matter as much, but Winnipeg, and when you look at this, it's the double-edged sword when you look at number one in the league in power play, because I look at them and I feel like they are a pretty top-heavy team offensively. But, I mean, if they keep cranking like that on the power play, it won't matter. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, They're big in the center area. Vilardi's big. Shifley's big. Shifley, I don't know if St. Louis has an answer for him, you know, matching up in the middle.
Probably
not.
And that's
a big thing. That's going to be a big X factor in this.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be a more exciting series than perhaps – some people might think. The next two we're going to get to two of the next three we get to in the West. I think that will clearly be the case. In the Central, again, I'm not afraid of the cliche on this one. I'm going to say seven on Dallas and Colorado. And this is one where it's a real coin flip on this one here. And in the end, I do expect, as a Red Wings fan, to be happy with the outcome. I'm picking Dallas by just, you know, the hair's breadth here. I like everything that they're doing this year. I think the addition of Rantanen at the trade deadline, I mean, they're going all in. And I guess to the degree that one believes in mysticism at all, in that same market what happened with the Luka trade. So you got that happening, and then you got Rantanen coming in. That tells me there's a run coming for the team that decided to boost up rather than tank the way that the Mavs did here. So I'm picking the Stars, and spoiler alert, not for the last time in these playoffs.
Okay. I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say Colorado getting Mackenzie Blackwood solidified the position. I didn't know if he could get it back to where he was in New Jersey. I think he's pretty close to that, but Colorado just needed an average goalie. They were just losing games because of goaltending. They don't lose those games anymore. Right. They have the best guy in the league in Cale Makar. I don't know if anybody's going to really argue against that. All around, he's just a weapon. McKinnon's always a Hart Trophy candidate, still is again this year. So you have that. I think Dallas, getting Haskinen back is big. I don't know how banged up he's going to be, but losing Jason Robertson is massive for the series because that's their big rig who scores and is hard to handle. They have other guys. Rantanen is going to have to step up, which he really hasn't stepped up yet.
Okay.
As a Dallas Star. So we're going to see about that. I do love Jake Ottinger in net. I do think this maybe Dallas gets the edge in net, but I'm taking Colorado in seven because Gabriel Landeskog doesn't need to play a minute, Rick.
Okay.
He could play like 5 minutes a game and be like Willis Reed, but the lift to that team will be massive because he was there for their cup run. He's definitely their emotional leader at times, and just getting him back will put them over the top.
Okay. And of course, the comparison would be to Willis Reed, The Profile Never Lies.
I mean, you know, I just go back. I mean, again, I was really a little kid. But, you know, afterwards, you go back and look at it, and you're like, why did Wilt Chamberlain wilt against Willis Reed, who was on one leg? Mm-hmm. Like, Willis didn't play a lot in that game, but he played enough that Wilt could have abused him in that game, and he just couldn't.
Yeah.
And it was just a crazy thing, but that lifted the whole Knicks team.
Well, before my time, but I am familiar with everybody is, yes. The next series is an interesting one. I don't know that I necessarily see it being that competitive, Vegas and Minnesota. I've got this one going five. I feel like Minnesota could maybe go six or maybe even seven if they got another matchup. I just feel that this one is tough, and I go back to this again about Vegas, that like they might be the most ironic team in sports, playing in the flashiest market in all of North America. And I've said it before, this is a team that's kind of like beige wallpaper. They're just like efficient. They're just, they get it done. Yeah.
They're not the shiniest of gold.
Right.
They're a low-key, well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone's healthy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
They have Eichel, but, you know, still.
I mean, they're one of the best players in the sport.
Sure.
No doubt about that.
They're wallpaper. They're very serviceable wallpaper.
Very serviceable. Aiden Hill has won a cup. I mean, we can't say he's not good enough because he's won a cup. He's the Mike Vernon of this era, I would say.
Okay.
I think they're going to win this series. But Kaprizov is a tough player. Zuccarello's real good. There's a lot of guys. Matt Boldy. But I just don't know if they can mount enough to really be a problem. I think Vegas will, you know, punch him in the mouth, play good defense. And Philip Gustafson is a really good goalie, but I don't know if he's a great goalie. And I guess we're going to find that out. Fleury's going to just be on the bench, and everybody's going to show him on the spotlight. He'll have his long hair. He'll have his last little run here. And he's going to go up against his old team, which is weird.
It really is, yeah. It's one of the moments that you see an awful lot this time of year with the matchups against former teams.
I mean, remember, kids, in 1986, Tom Seaver was on the bench sitting next to Roger Clemens when the Mets were playing the Red Sox. Weird things happen.
Yeah. A few things stranger than that. You're absolutely right when you look at the arc of his career. Another series that, again, I think is going to be very, very competitive. And once again, I compare this a lot to Tampa Bay and Florida, where I really had to sort of put aside my preconceived notions, which is not very easy for me to do. But, you know, once you really kind of do a deep dive into the data.
With something that's annoying me.
What?
Luis Angel Acuña is maybe one of the dumbest base runners in baseball. Arenado was going to make a play. He faked throwing the first. Acuña was going from second to third, and he overruns the bag. How do you, again, if you want to do the head first slide, that's fine. But how do you overrun the bag when you know you're going from second to third. That is like the key thing you're not supposed to do
right.
as a baseball player. And Arenado is like the best third baseman we may have ever seen in our lifetime. Nothing gets past him still. Tag plays, everything. He dove, he gets him out, and it's a 3-3 game, and I'm really pissed off. Go ahead, Rick.
I can understand that. And again, Arenado, in the kind of things that you're talking about, and it was really, you know, much discussed over the offseason here, him possibly getting shopped, that the parts of his game that you're talking about are the ones that age probably affects less as you go along. It's more yeah. bat speed, things yes. like that. He's going to be a great defensive player.
Gold gloves to start his career. He's going to get an 11th. I've watched him this series.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss a play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'll be a defensive stud even when he's not nearly as much of a threat at the plate. You are right about that. And I thought you were actually about to take issue with my take here, but I'm going against
what they're replaying this play, so maybe
okay. Well, my preconceived notion that I would have taken Edmonton over the LA Kings in this series, and again, I can't, much like I'm picking Florida to go out in the first round, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud that I'm picking Edmonton to go out in the first round, but again, much like Florida, when you really kind of look at it, just don't quite look like they looked at this time last year. I mean, maybe some of that is playoff hangover. In the case of Florida, two consecutive deep runs into June. We talked about it with Tampa Bay previously, that they made three in a row, and it really took almost until now for them to shake it.
It's true. Really. I mean, it was a tremendous comeback, but they just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, yeah, and so you look at it here, that I can't believe I'm picking them, you know, and again, an LA Kings team where I really had to sort of do a deep dive of, like, are they as good as their record indicates? And I mean, you know, arguably
I warm on them all year until, like, I wasn't.
I'm just
taking the Kings too. I don't like Edmonton's goaltending. I don't think it's been good. As far as the defense on Edmonton, I think it's suspect.
Okay.
Usually the best scoring teams don't win in the playoffs because okay. a lot of times their goals are harder to come by. And I don't know. I just kind of look at this and I'm like, yeah, I think Edmonton's going to be out in the okay. first round. And I think there's going to be hell to pay for somebody in Edmonton about that. But I think that's going to happen. And I think the Kings, Darcy Kemper, like if you do a deep dive, he had a way better year than I imagined.
Yeah.
Adrian Kempe has been great. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a great captain. He's a beast. Quinton Byfield is a beast. Drew Doughty is back. That's a yeah. big factor. He's one of the best all-around defensemen in the league. Always has been. Plays a lot of minutes. You know, you start putting those things together. I like Kevin Fiala as a player. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to do this.
Yeah.
In seven.
Yeah. Well, and you look at the kind of year the Kopitar had at age 37.
That's what I'm saying. He's a beast, man.
He's an all-timer.
I'm going to give you a quick Kopitar story because this is the kind of guy he is. So back when I was trying to figure out how to play ice hockey and play media games, I was down in Dallas for the All-Star game. I remember when they used to have the Young Stars game. So I scrimmaged with a bunch of guys, right? So I come into the Young Stars luncheon and I'm doing interviews, right? But at first, we're all standing up at the table, and Kopitar is the first guy I'm going to interview. And I said, Anze, do you mind if we sit? Because I just played hockey, and my legs are killing me. He goes, no, that's fine. And I got, like, street cred with him, and it was a great interview, and he's still a great guy and just a tremendous player.
Well, all right, so you're not going to take any issue then. I didn't know if you might or not. I mean, I'm looking at him at the base of his career, and when you factor the cups in, which you have to, I mean, slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't.
One of the best of his generation.
Yeah, I think you have to say that. And then the other thing is, I appreciate you not making me feel dumb about the Kings, because you could very easily have been like, well, I've seen the Kings coming for a while, Rick, and here's what you
missed. No, I didn't.
I appreciate you not doing that.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right. Well, much appreciated. So, all right, well, that's our picks through the first round. Going to the conference semis, I've got Tampa Bay over Toronto in six. I'm enough of a believer in Toronto that they're not going to have the all-time.
Oh, I didn't know we were going to carry this out for
Ottawa. Well, that's I'm just going to tell you who I got.
I wasn't going to carry this out.
That's fine. I mean, give me your thoughts as we're going along here. And I'm going to say Washington over New Jersey in seven. I think that's one where New Jersey is going to stay game. And I think that they are going to really hang with
Washington. I'm going to tell you, oddly enough, if that series happens, Jonas Siegenthaler comes back, you see, with Washington would be a key thing for New Jersey. So he's skating now. If he comes back and he New Jersey advances and Siegenthaler's playing for them,
okay,
that could really help him. So I think if they get him back, New Jersey might win that series.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, because I've got them taking it to seven, and then like I said before, the old pre-COVID nostalgia here of like I would not have believed at the beginning of the year I would have been picking Tampa Bay, Washington as my Eastern Conference final. But I mean, I'm looking at this here, and just based on the matchups and everything,
I think it could happen. I think Tampa getting there very much could happen.
Yeah, and you know, and but Washington.
Now you're upsetting Leaf fans again by basically saying they're not good enough to get there again.
Well, I think it is fair to say, I mean, sort of, you know, guilty until proven innocent, because Tampa Bay, I mean, if you look at it at the very least in terms of cup final appearances here, three in a row, two times lifting the cup. So the team that has been, along with Florida, but even ahead of Florida, the consummate winner in the Eastern Conference over the last half decade, and then Toronto, which always goes out earlier than everybody thinks they should. So that's one of those things where, again, I'm
no
doing
Toronto
this.
Winning the cup again, so it's still 1967. What Rick is saying.
Yeah, exactly. And they
with
are.
A smile he's saying to people. I want you to know he is saying it with a smile if you're listening to this on a podcast.
I as opposed to the YouTube feed where you can see that. I guess I'm more so smiling at the comparison of 1967, 1964. They really are the Cleveland Browns of the NHL in terms of historical futility, are they not?
I mean, it's pretty close.
They won a lot before 67, just like the Browns won eight world championships before 64. I mean, the parallel holds up. Now, granted, the Browns have been exponentially worse over the last quarter century. Maybe the worst franchise in sports.
Recently, very embarrassing, yes.
Very embarrassing, yes. And they continue to be a skid mark on the NFL. So, that it might sound like more of an insult to Toronto than I intend it to be, but in terms of great until the 60s,
for the Browns, I think that's an insult.
But I just mean, but again, you know,
they're good now. They're really good compared to the Browns now, though.
Sure, but like not to be hipster historian here, but I'm just talking about it's the same arc of history, dominant until the 60s, and then nothing since then. A big goose egg. That's what they have in common. So
I mean, now you're basically. I mean, it feels like the next thing you're going to match up is like the Edsel and the Tesla, the way that thing's going.
I do. I love all kinds of comparisons. I've made cross-sport comparisons on the show. I love them. But I'm taking Tampa Bay over Washington in the Eastern Conference Final, six games, I would say. So Tampa Bay to advance. And in the Western Conference, the way that I see it shaping up, I had teased this before. This would not be the last time I would be picking Dallas. I'm going to say Dallas against Vegas in seven. And again, I mean, remember the last time they played in the playoffs. I mean, it's always epic when these two teams play. They're closely matched teams. They're both teams that can get very physical. So, I mean, it's going to be an epic, epic series that will go a minimum of six games. If
Colorado will be there, not Dallas. Sorry.
Okay. Well, how would you see Colorado matching up with Vegas? Just spitballing it. I don't need a winner, but just like spitballing.
No, I think they could beat them.
Okay. You'd favor them over Vegas also. Okay.
I think the pace of their game will make up for what Vegas tries to do physically.
Okay. All right. Then in the other one here in the West, in the old Pacific Division, I've got Vegas over LA in seven. And misprint here. So this is, I had a little misprint here. So it will be Dallas and Winnipeg, actually. Dallas and Winnipeg and Vegas and the LA Kings. I've got Dallas over Winnipeg, I should say, in seven. Vegas over the LA Kings in seven. That's my, you know, what I was looking
at. I disagree with that. If that happens, I don't disagree.
I was looking a line ahead here, too, at the conference final here. I'm looking at this on the other screen. Dallas over Vegas in the conference final in seven. How would you see Colorado matching up with Winnipeg here? If that
I think it would be a tremendous matchup. Obviously, Winnipeg would get the edge in net. I think Winnipeg, with their defense, would really be put to the test. Again, anytime Colorado has McCarr and McKinnon out there on the ice together, you have to worry about that, and it would be a lot. It might be to the tune of like 22 minutes a game with each of them, you know?
Sure.
So that's a big deal. I think, I think Blackwood, like it's a redemption year for him. So I think it would be a big deal. But you would worry about Hellebuyck. I think Colorado would get past him. Look, Colorado is the team I'm leaning towards to winning the cup. There's no doubt about it, because I just think that preseason, I thought they had enough to do it, but then the goaltending went bad, and I was like, didn't see that happening, and they corrected that. And so now that they corrected that, and they got Martin Netches, which I think, believe it or not, has made them different. I don't think they're better without Rantanen, but it's different. He's a different kind of skilled player. And so, in the end, I think it's made their power play more dominant.
Okay. In the I did see on NHL.com, I was surprised to see for a field that appears to be as open at the top, where you could conceivably see potentially three or four teams coming out of either conference.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see the preponderance of Colorado, Tampa picks there.
I'm not shocked, because I think on the surface it sounds right. And what's interesting is, you know, I always go where it's closest. So that means, unfortunately, I won't go to Colorado again. I'd be in Tampa. But yeah, I think there's a very good chance this could happen.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at this here as far as being a cup final here. I'm looking at Dallas going through three rounds here of where I think it would be seven games: Colorado, Winnipeg, Vegas. And that is basically what kind of tips the balance, because I would have this one going seven as well. I'm going to say Tampa Bay over Dallas in seven. And what's funny about this is, for me, like, I couldn't tell you exactly when. I couldn't tell you if it was preseason, pre-playoffs, whatever. But this feels like a matchup over the last couple of years I've picked more than once for the final. And it may actually happen this time, or maybe it's another time. Maybe this is like the third or fourth time I picked this matchup and it doesn't happen. But, like, it is a thing where, again, as much as, you know, Tampa over the last year or so sort of retrenching after coming off the three consecutive Eastern Conference championships, two Stanley Cups in the first 3 years of that run, that prior to this kind of retrenching, really, and Dallas almost kind of straight back as a team that was in the Stanley Cup final back during the bubble. Like, these are always teams that are hovering. Like, every year for the last 5 years or so, like, you could have picked this as one. So maybe this is finally the time. Maybe this is finally the time that I'm right. But these have always been teams that have been right there.
Yeah, I think the issue that I have is Dallas made it to the cup and lost. And it's very hard to get back to the cup sometimes. And I just kind of look at them like the San Jose Sharks. They give me that Sharks vibe. And if they, you know, if they don't make it to the cup this year, I really do think they're the San Jose Sharks. So
really?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. But that's my issue.
That's interesting, because I don't look at that team and see a bridesmaid. I suppose I may look at it differently if they come up short in the playoffs, especially if they don't make it out of the first round. I really might start to see it a little bit more so your way on that one. But this is the kind of perspective you get in the FDH Lounge. I don't think there's necessarily a ton of people that would look at the Dallas Stars the way that they've been comprised the last couple of years and see a bridesmaid kind of a team. That is very interesting. I
have to tell you that there was a time I used to look at Vince Vaughn differently, but that's changed.
I'm not going to delve into any of his choices either way, but still one of my favorite actors. People that think the True Detective season 2 sucked don't know cinema. So, you know, yeah, I'm a Vince Vaughn loyalist vis-a-vis the man's career. And, you know, we could debate any of his other choices any other time here. Although, a believer in Austrian economics, though. I am a respecter of the old Austrian economics thing from
Vince Vaughn. I don't know about that. That's over my head.
Ludwig von Mises. Google it, boys and girls. So that's how we see things shaking out here in the course of the playoffs. And then, again, I will ask you, any thoughts that you have for the upcoming playoffs we didn't get to, Russ?
No, I think it's going to be a really good playoffs. I think that there's a chance that there's three or four different teams that could win. This is why I like the NHL over the NBA, because I think the NBA has its favorites and they're overwhelming favorites at times. Where I think the NHL, like, a lot of different things could happen. And we've kind of pointed out that squiggly roadmap. And I think that's what makes it exciting. I don't mind these great first-round matchups, but I understand why people get mad when good teams lose. I understand it.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly in the NBA, I will be praying for there not to be a big old thumb on the scale this year, because my team is going to come up short if the officiating and everything like that comes the way that it might. But, right. Well, if anybody heard our playoff preview here and saw our on fantasydrafthelp.com my predictions. My predictions are that the good guys are going to break through this year and just like 2016, bring it home. So we'll have to see how accurate my prediction is there versus my prediction here for Tampa Bay to lift the cup when it's all said and done. But when we get to that point, I'll look forward to breaking it down with you, Russ, whatever the final matchup is going to be. And look forward to having you on next week.
I can't wait. It's
cavalcade of thousands, baby.
I'm going to be torn that night.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get to come on and to be able to vent your feelings about what the Jets did. This time it'll be into a microphone with vaunted FDH Lounge dignitaries, Chris Galloway, Jason Jones, the scout Ken Bex. They will be with me all night.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all feel really bad for me too.
We will have others jumping in from coast to coast throughout the course of the evening. Russ will be one of them, and looking forward to that. So thank you for being on for that one next week, Russ. Thank you for being on for this one. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1826.